Listener supported. WNYC Studios.
New York faces a deficit. The deficit that we talk about all day long, the budget deficit, the budget deficit.
We can't cut spending by $3.5 billion. We can't raise taxes by $3.5 billion. We can't change all of the damage that's been done overnight.
Andrew Cuomo and Dan Malloy. It is Inauguration Day in Connecticut, State of the State Day in New York. Governor Cuomo is expected to unveil the beginnings of what he calls his emergency financial plan for New York State. Governor Dan Malloy takes the oath of office in Hartford as one of, by the way, very few Democrats to win a governorship, replacing a Republican, considering the national election results this year. And reports are the Malloy and Cuomo positions on tax hikes may be different, too. We will preview Cuomo's State of the State second and introduce Governor Dan Malloy first. With us now is John Dankosky, news director at WNPR, the public station in Hartford, and host of the program there, Where We Live. Hi, John. Welcome back to WNYC. Happy New Year.
Hey, Happy New Year, Brian. Good to talk to you.
So why did Connecticut elect a Democratic governor this year? First of all, after years of Republicans at the helm and as the country as a whole was heading in the opposite direction.
Well, look, Connecticut is a very, very blue state. We have a completely Democratic congressional delegation, save for Joe Lieberman. We have Democrats controlling both houses of the legislature here. We haven't had a Democratic governor in a very, very long time. In the last couple of years, under Governor Jody Rell, people have seen, while she's a very popular figure, have seen not a whole lot of movement by government to do much of anything. Dan Malloy is someone who ran back in 2006 for this job. He's been running for an awful long time. He was a very successful mayor of the city of Stamford, which was a pretty good turnaround story as far as Connecticut cities go. And he's seen as someone who's going to bring a little bit of change. He beat Tom Foley in a very, very close race, just a couple thousand votes. As you remember, it was a contested race at the end as well. And so he's taking office with a very thin margin of victory, but he's got a huge, huge task ahead. As you heard in that clip, it's about a $3.5 billion deficit he's got to face.
Now, almost every state is facing a budget deficit right now. New York's is $10 billion. Is that Connecticut figure more meaningful than New York's, you know, relative to the budget?
Well, as we were saying on my program this morning, think about it this way. Connecticut's got about 1% of our overall population in the country. We have a budget that is, you know, 13-something billion dollars. We have a budget deficit of $3.5 billion. An enormous percentage of our state budget is this deficit, and it just keeps growing year by year. And like most states, over the course of the last couple years, the legislature and the governor have kind of patched things together. We've kicked costs down the road, not funded pension obligations, taken a lot of freebie money from the federal government in the last year. And at this point, almost all the tricks are used up. In a place like Connecticut, we have one of the slowest job growths in the entire country. And so that means we're not expected to come out of this economic recession anytime soon compared to other states. So for Connecticut, yeah, it's pretty bad.
I've seen some reporting that Malloy, unlike Cuomo, is expected to ask the legislature for an income tax hike in addition to spending cuts. Is that what you expect?
Well, he's been very careful to say that, like, he doesn't want to raise taxes. He doesn't want to make massive cuts to state government. But he's put everyone on notice that something has to happen. He's essentially put everything on the table. He and his new incoming budget director have said that it's going to be shared sacrifice all across the board. And that's going to mean a couple of things. We can expect some sort of tax hike here. We can expect some sort of cuts to state services. We can expect some sort of negotiation with state employee unions. And beyond that, not sure what, because I think he even knows that with all those savings, we still might not get to the $3.5 billion deficit. I'll also say quickly, Brian, one of his big things coming in, and I know this is going to just bore the pants off people, he wants to institute GAAP accounting rules, you know, actual realistic accounting rules so that we know how big the deficit is. The fact of the matter is once he passes these rules, his budget might actually look a lot bigger than it is right now. So he's trying to get the fiscal house in order and give a realistic picture of how much money we owe in the state.
Do you think that the finances of Connecticut's budget dictate a tax hike in a way that they don't in New York? I think you were getting at that. Or are the politics different, or both? Or is it just that Dan Malloy is different from Andrew Cuomo?
Well, here's the thing. Connecticut has a lower income tax rate than some of the surrounding states. Over the course of the last couple of years, many Democrats have pushed the Republican governor, Jody Rell, to try to take on bigger tax increases for people making at the highest levels. We've instituted a little bit of a hike in the last couple of years on millionaires in the state. A lot of Democrats would like to see that go up. They essentially see, in their words, room to grow with New York, Rhode Island, Massachusetts having lower effective income tax rates. They think Connecticut can raise those rates, make some cash for the state, and not have people actually leave the state. This, is disputed by some. We've had some reporters who've done some pretty good reporting on this who say, you know, Connecticut millionaires aren't really leaving to go anyplace else. But that's been one of the worries from people who worry about a big income tax hike.
I'm just curious. In New York, I believe the top rate for top earners in New York State after this so-called millionaire's tax expires, as Cuomo wants to let it do, the top rate would be about 6.8% in New York. Do you know what it is in Connecticut?
Off the top of my head, I don't know what the top rate is, so I'm not going to venture to guess because I don't have the number in front of me.
And is this the the results of electing a Democratic governor? If the Republican had won, would we be seeing a different discussion right now? Would we be seeing a hold the line on taxes at all costs kind of discussion?
Well, if the Republican who got the nomination had won, Tom Foley, I think that we would have been seeing the same sort of discussion. I think that the difference is that Tom Foley went into the election saying, I don't think that the economic conditions in Connecticut are as bad as everyone thinks. He was campaigning on the fact that we were going to get increased federal money in the next couple of years. He thought that our economy would turn around. He was banking on it and thinking that we will have more jobs and we will get more tax revenue over the course of the last couple of years. I think at the end of the day, that realistically, if Tom Foley was sitting here taking the oath of office, he'd probably be having to make some of the very same choices that Dan Malloy is going to have to make about taxes and cutting government.
John Dankosky, my guest on WNYC, news director of WNPR, the public station in Hartford, and host of the program on that station called Where We Live. And Connecticut listeners, we have a few minutes for your phone calls. Then we're going to go across the border into New York and talk to two leaders of a group called the Committee to Save New York. This is mostly business leaders, but not entirely business unit leaders. They have a coalition of at least one major union joining them, not a public employees union. Unsurprisingly, the former Democratic state controller who ran for governor against Pataki, Carl McCall, part of the Committee to Save New York, and we will have their leadership. They will advocate against any extension of the millionaire's tax in New York, and we'll talk to them in general about their new alliance with the Construction Workers Union and these corporate leaders, and apparently their very close relationship with Andrew Cuomo. So that's coming up in a few minutes. Connecticut callers, we can take your 6-word wishes for Governor Dan Malloy. You can wish him well, but also you can say, all right, you can go to 12 words. What do you want him to do first? What should Dan Malloy do first, considering the fiscal mess that Connecticut, like most states, is in? 212-433-WNYC, and we'll just do this for a few minutes so you get right on if you call right up. 212-433-9692 if you're in Fairfield County or anywhere else where our signal is penetrating the Nutmeg State today. In the meantime, we have an online poll, a thoroughly unscientific online poll, of course, on our politics website, itsafreecountry.org, pertaining to New York, and it has to do with that millionaire's tax. And the question is, should the New York State temporary income tax surcharge of 1 percentage point on income over $200,000 and about 2 percentage points on incomes over $500,000 in New York be allowed to expire? Governor Cuomo wants it to expire for those taxes to go down on the highest earning New Yorkers. What do you think? Go and give us your response to that informal, unofficial, thoroughly unscientific It's a Free Country poll. Should the New York State temporary income tax surcharge on the wealthiest expire in New York State? Go to itsafreecountry.org and you will see it right there underneath my picture. So John Dankosky from WNPR, Cuomo in New York symbolically took down physical barriers to his office on his inauguration day on Saturday. today's State of the State address in New York will let the public into a big arena rather than just be for the legislators in the Capitol as it traditionally is. He'll have opening remarks from those legislative leaders who will sometimes be his adversaries after all. All these nods toward more openness in government. And we'll see how it plays out once they get into the nitty-gritty. But he's at least making these symbolic gestures at the start. Do you expect anything symbolic like that coming from Dan Malloy on day one?
Well, the big symbolism of this first day is that the actual swearing-in ceremony has been moved into, for the first time, one of the bigger buildings that we have down in the Capitol complex. It's the State Armory. And so some 2,700 people, including a lot of the public, are going to be able to see the ceremony. There's a parade through downtown Hartford to get to the Armory. And then there is a governor's ball tonight. I think that he has said over and over again that he wants to communicate more directly with people. He wants to have a more open and transparent government. There's been some criticism over the course of the last couple of days, of course, with a $3.5 billion deficit. Do we need a parade? Do we need a governor's ball? Do we need all these other things? But it is a big change. It's for the first time in more than 20 years we're swearing in a Democrat as governor. And so many people that we've talked to have said, look, I don't begrudge him having this one day where he had a little bit of pomp and circumstance, but we'd like to really get things going tomorrow, day one, as soon as we possibly can.
Right. Well, that is a contrast with Cuomo, too, because he took pains to have a very spare inauguration day, considering the crisis as it's perceived in New York. You're saying because of the longstanding Republican rule, this is considered a kind of party day for the Democratic Party. Is it seen that way in Connecticut right now, rather than a ball that represents change for all Connecticut residents?
I don't think it's going to be the grandest party of all time. Let's put it that way. But it is going to be celebratory. I know a lot of people who I've talked to who are from longtime Democratic activists or liberals or progressives in the state are very excited about attending the ceremony, and they're very excited about the ball tonight. But again, they all realize that tomorrow, with this big deficit and everything that has to happen, it's going to start to be pretty gruesome pretty fast. Might as well kind of party like it's 1999.
John and Darianne, your six-word welcome for Governor Dan Malloy. Hello.
Good morning. My sixth word would be, don't use Fairfield County as a bank. Uh-huh. Sorry, seven words.
Okay. Do you think that he's threatening to do that, or is that the tradition in Connecticut?
That's kind of the tradition, that Fairfield County pays for the rest of the taxes from Fairfield County pay for the rest of the state.
Thank you very much.
Well, and Brian, to that point, I'll just say what's interesting during this last couple of years of economic recession, that's one of the problems. As we count on the tax revenues from Fairfield County, it becomes very unstable, right? When people in Fairfield County lose their jobs, they're not making their big bonuses, we can't count on that revenue the way we used to. And so it's proven to not be very effective to use Fairfield County as a bank using the income tax.
Susan in Deep River, you're on WNYC. Hi, Susan.
Hi. In Connecticut, unlike in New York, for example, towns are really the main area of government. We vote on budgets, and each town has its own library and, the school. It's not a county-based system. And,
right. Connecticut abolished, technically, even though we talk about Fairfield County and so forth, Connecticut abolished county government some time back, right?
Yes, it did. And what I'm interested in is what effect does the speaker think that the governor's proposals or possible proposals will have on the small town? Will there be any attempt to bring all the libraries together into one county library? Like where I am, there's a lot of small towns. There's Chester, there's Hadlime, there's Haddam, there's Deep River, there's Essex. Every single one of these little towns has their own library, their own school, their own garbage collection. You know, it's a very small situation. I'm wondering if he thinks there will be any attempt to change this.
It's a great question, John. And, consolidation is one of the buzzwords in New York. Cuomo's going to try to hammer consolidation. You may remember his opponent in the race, Carl Paladino, was actually proposing that all local town governments be done away with in New York State. That was a Paladino proposal, and all local services be consolidated within the county government in the 62 counties in New York State. New Jersey faces its own push under Governor Christie for consolidation as one way to save money on local expenses. Is this going to be a topic of debate in Connecticut, too?
I think it definitely will. The democratically led legislature over the course of the last couple of years has put on a little bit of a full court press to try to change this, not in the way that the caller is suggesting, where we're literally going to force towns to work together or really break down the town governments. It's going to be incentives for towns to share services, so not all the towns are barking at the door asking for the same funding, and they're, you know, not all taxing their individuals on their property in order to make sure that they have their own school and their own fire truck. It's a series of incentives that the Democrats want to try. I think Dan Malloy is behind this idea. I think the long-term structural changes is going to take a long time because, honestly, it's very deeply ingrained, this town-by-town, 169 communities here in Connecticut that we've had. It's going to take a long time to get that out.
How come there's no, and Susan, thank you.
Thank you. And
how come there's no county government? And it's funny because it's exactly the opposite of what Carl Palladino was proposing. Do away with all the town and municipal governments except New York City and, you know, the major cities like Syracuse and Albany. But do away with all the town government structures and consolidate everything at the county level. Connecticut has no county government structures. What was that decision about?
The history of the decision, I think, is less important than the history of the towns themselves. Mm-hmm. It's just a New England tradition that we all have our own little town green. You know, the White Steeple Church in the town. This is all part of our DNA. And what happens is it's very quaint and very nicely put together for the 1700s or 1800s. But for the 21st century, it's an unwieldy form of government. And literally almost no one lives and works and does all their shopping in the same community like happened back in the 1700s. It's just it's a tradition that many people, urban growth folks, people who are trying to solve government problems, they all say it needs to be changed. But it's going to take a lot more than 4 years of a Malloy administration to do that, I think.
Day one of the Dan Malloy administration today, inauguration coming up later today in Hartford. John Dankosky, news director of WNPR in Hartford. Thanks a lot for kicking us off this morning.
Cheers, Brian. Take care, man.
Brian Lehrer on WNYC. Coming up next, we cross the border back into New York State and preview Andrew Cuomo's State of the State address with two leaders of a group called the Committee to Save New York. Stay with us.